Today, Fed signals higher for longer and markets crater. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, as the central bank rate fest rolls on from the RBA on Tuesday, as expected, the Fed lifted the US interest rate target by 75 basis points overnight and reaffirmed continued hikes ahead. And later tonight, we'll get the Bank of England announcement, which is also expected to hike big. The Fed's unanimous decision lifted the target for the benchmark federal funds rate to a range of 3.75% to 4%, its highest level since 2008.
My colleagues and I are strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal. We have both the tools that we need and the resolve it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses. Price stability is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve and serves as the bedrock of our economy. Without price stability, the economy does not work for anyone. In particular, without price stability, we will not achieve a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all. Today, the FOMC raised our policy interest rate by 75 basis points, and we continue to anticipate that ongoing increases will be appropriate. We are moving our policy stance purposefully to a level that will be sufficiently restrictive to return inflation to 2%. In addition, we're continuing the process of significantly reducing the size of our balance sheet. Restoring price stability will likely require maintaining a restrictive stance of policy for some time. I will have more to say about today's monetary policy actions after briefly reviewing economic developments. The U.S. economy has slowed significantly from last year's rapid pace. Real GDP rose at a pace of 2.6% last quarter, but is unchanged so far this year. Recent indicators point to modest growth of spending and production this quarter. Growth in consumer spending has slowed from last year's rapid pace, in part reflecting lower real disposable income and tighter financial conditions. Activity in the housing sector has weakened significantly, largely reflecting higher mortgage rates. Higher interest rates and slower output growth also appear to be weighing on business fixed investment. Despite the slowdown in growth, the labor market remains extremely tight, with the unemployment rate at a 50-year low, job vacancies still very high, and wage growth elevated. Job gains have been robust, with employment rising by an average of 289,000 jobs per month over August and September. Although job vacancies have moved below their highs, and the pace of job gains has slowed from earlier in the year, the labor market continues to be out of balance, with demand substantially exceeding the supply of available workers. The labor force participation rate is little changed since the beginning of the year. Inflation remains well above our longer run goal of 2%. Over the 12 months ending in September, total PCE prices rose 6.2%, excluding the volatile food and energy categories. Core PCE prices rose 5.1%. And the recent inflation data again have come in higher than expected. Price pressures remain evident across a broad range of goods and services. Russia's war against Ukraine has boosted prices for energy and food and has created additional upward pressure on inflation. Despite elevated inflation, longer-term inflation expectations appear to remain well anchored, as reflected in a broad range of surveys of households, businesses and forecasters, as well as measures from financial markets. But that is not grounds for complacency. The longer the current bout of high inflation continues, the greater the chance that expectations of higher inflation will become entrenched. The Fed's monetary policy actions are guided by our mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. My colleagues and I are acutely aware that high inflation imposes significant hardship as it erodes purchasing power, especially for those least able to meet the higher costs of essentials like food, housing, and transportation. We are highly attentive to the risks that high inflation poses to both sides of our mandate, and we're strongly committed to returning inflation to our 2% objective. At today's meeting, the committee raised the target range for the federal funds rate by 75 basis points. And we are continuing the process of significantly reducing the size of our balance sheet, which plays an important role in firming the stance of monetary policy. With today's action, we've raised interest rates by 3.75 percentage points this year. We anticipate that ongoing increases in the target range for the federal funds rate will be appropriate in order to attain a stance of monetary policy that is sufficiently restrictive to return inflation to 2% over time. Financial conditions have tightened significantly in response to our policy actions, and we are seeing the effects on demand in the most interest rate sensitive sectors of the economy, such as housing. It will take time, however, for the full effects of monetary restraint to be realized, especially on inflation. That's why we say in our statement that in determining the pace of future increases in the target range, we will take into account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy and the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity and inflation. At some point, as I've said in the last two press conferences, it will become appropriate to slow the pace of increases as we approach the level of interest rates that will be sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation down to our 2% goal. There is significant uncertainty around that level of interest rates. Even so, we still have some ways to go, and incoming data since our last meeting suggests that the ultimate level of interest rates will be higher than previously expected. Our decisions will depend on the totality of incoming data and their implications for the outlook for economic activity and inflation. We will continue to make our decisions meeting by meeting and communicate our thinking as clearly as possible. We're taking forceful steps to moderate demand so that it comes into better alignment with supply. Our overarching focus is using our tools to bring inflation back down to our 2% goal and to keep longer-term inflation expectations well anchored. Reducing inflation is likely to require a sustained period of below-trend growth and some softening of labor market conditions. Restoring price stability is essential to set the stage for achieving maximum employment and stable prices in the longer run. The historical record cautions strongly against prematurely loosening policy. We will stay the course until the job is done. To conclude, we understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. Everything we do is in service to our public mission. We at the Fed will do everything we can to achieve our maximum employment and price stability goals. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Slower for longer, declared JP Morgan Chase & Co. chief economist Michael Forelli. In a note to clients, the Fed opened the door to dialing down the size of the next hike, but did so without easing up financial conditions. As a result, US stocks ended sharply lower on Wednesday, with the S&P 500 suffering its worst rout on a Fed decision day since January 2021, as comments from the Fed chairman shattered initial optimism over a Fed policy statement.
Hi, Howard Schneider with Reuters. Look, I'm sure there's going to be tons of confusion out there about whether this means you're going to slow in December or not. Would you say that the bias right now is not for another 75 basis point increase?
What I want to do is put that question of pace in the context of our broader tightening program, if I may, and hit to talk about the statement language along the way. So I think you can think about our tightening program as really addressing three questions. The first of which was and has been how fast to go. The second is how high to raise our policy rate, and the third will be eventually how long to remain at a restrictive level. So. On the first question, how fast to tighten policy, it's been very important that we move expeditiously, and we have clearly done so. We've moved 3.75% since March, admittedly from a base of zero. It's a historically fast pace, and that's certainly appropriate, given the persistence and strength in inflation and the low level from which we started. So now we come to the second question, which is how high to raise our policy rate, and we're saying that we'd raise that rate to a level that's sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation to our 2% target over time, and we put that into our post-meeting statement because that really does become the important question we think now is how far to go, and I'll talk more about that. We think there's some ground to cover but before we meet that test, and that's why we say that ongoing rate increases will be appropriate. And as I mentioned, incoming data between the meetings, both the strong labor market report, but particularly the CPI report, do suggest to me that we may ultimately move to higher levels than we thought at the time of the September meeting. That level is very uncertain, though, and I would say, we're going to find it over time. Of course, with the lags between policy and economic activity, there's a lot of uncertainty. So we note that in determining the pace of future increases, we'll take into account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy as well as the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity and inflation. So I would say as we come closer to that level, move more into restrictive territory, the question of speed becomes less important than the second and third questions. And that's why I've said at the last two press conferences that at some point it will become appropriate to slow the pace of increases. So that time is coming. And it may come as soon as the next meeting or the one after that. No decision has been made. It is likely we'll have a discussion about this at the next meeting, a discussion. To be clear, let me say again, the question of when to moderate the pace of increases is now much less important than the question of how high to raise rates and how long to keep monetary policy restrictive, which really will be our principal focus.
If I could follow up on that, to what degree was there an importance or weight given to a need to signal this possibility now, given all the concerns really around the globe about Fed policy sort of driving ahead and everybody else, dealing with their own stress as a result?
Well, I think I'm pleased that we have moved as fast as we have. I don't think we've over-tightened. I think there's very difficult to make a case that our current level is too tight, given that inflation still runs well above the federal funds rate. So I think that at this meeting, the last two meetings, as I've mentioned, I've said that there would come a point, and this was a meeting at which we had a discussion about what that might mean. And we did discuss this, and as I mentioned, we'll discuss it again in December. But there's I don't have any sense that we've over-tightened or moved too fast. I think it's been good and a successful program that we've gotten this fast. Remember, though, that we still think there's a need for ongoing rate increases, and we have some ground left to cover here, and cover it we will.
The Fed said its battle against inflation will require borrowing costs to rise further, yet signaled it may be nearing an inflection point in what's become the swiftest tightening of US monetary policy in 40 years. Now, just bear in mind, at the Fed September 2021 meeting, the median estimate among policymakers pegged the peak fund rate at somewhere between 4.5 and 4.75%. Rate futures markets are now implying that's going to be even higher, perhaps 5% next year. Ongoing increases in the target range will be appropriate, the central bank's policy-setting Federal Open Market Committee said at the end of its latest two-day meeting. But in determining the pace of future increases in the target range, the committee will take into account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy, the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity and inflation, and economic and financial developments. That lag story is the same one we heard from the RBA, of course, earlier in the week. But addressing reporters on Wednesday after the Fed raised the rate by 75 basis points, Powell said incoming data since our last meeting suggests the ultimate level of interest rates will be higher than previously expected. The time to reassess the pace of increase is coming, he said. It may come as soon as the next meeting or the one after that. No decision has been made, while stressing that we still have some ways before rates were tight enough. The language in the policy statement acknowledged the broad debate that's emerged around the Fed's policy tightening and opened potentially a new stage in that discussion. The double-sided message, though, left open the possibility the US Central Bank may raise rates in smaller increments in the future, ending its sequence of 0.75% hikes as soon as December in favor of something a bit more tapered, but perhaps 50 basis points, while also leaving policymakers room to continue rates higher if inflation doesn't start to slow. And Powell, speaking in the conference after the end of the central bank's latest policy meeting, said he wanted no confusion on that point. Even if policymakers do scale back future increases, he said, they were still undecided about just how high rates will need to rise to curb inflation, and were determined to, quote, stay the course until the job's done. Regardless of how fast the Fed moves, there's some ground to cover for the target federal funds rate to reach a sufficiently restrictive level that will slow inflation, Powell said. The final destination is very uncertain. We're going to find it over time. The question of when to moderate the pace of increases is much less important than the question of how high and how long to keep monetary policy restricted, he said, adding that it was very premature to discuss when the Fed might pause its increases. It's as if investors came to a haunted house and got candy, but once they unwrapped it, saw it was soggy broccoli, said Max Gockman, chief investment officer at Alpha Trowel. I have to say, many retail investors who were being influenced by the market commentary on the Fed pivot will have been caught out, while some professional investors were positioned to benefit from the falls in a volatile trading session, because equities initially moved higher in the wake of the hike by the Fed. The target federal funds rate was set in a range between 3.75% and 4%, but the impact of the hike was initially tempered by new language that suggested the central bank was mindful of the effects its outsized rate hikes may have had on the economy. Investors had widely anticipated that 75 basis point rate hike, while hoping the Fed would begin to signal a willingness to downsize the rate hikes as soon as December. But comments from Jerome Powell that it was very premature to be thinking about pausing rate hikes sent stocks sharply lower. It is one speech, maybe this is a moment of frustration. I don't think he should have done it in the way that he did this, but I understand why he did it. And in the big picture of things, he's doing the right thing right now, said Stephen Masoka, senior vice president at Wedbush Securities. Ultimately, this will be good for the economy and good for the markets. Officials, as expected, said they will continue to reduce their holdings of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities as planned, a pace amounting to about $1.1 trillion a year. The higher rates go, the harder the Fed's job becomes. Having been criticized for missing the stubbornness of the inflation surge, officials know that monetary policy works with a lag and that the tighter it becomes, the more it will not only slow inflation, but economic growth and hiring too. Still, Powell stressed that they would not blink in their efforts to get inflation back down to their 2% target. The historical record cautions strongly against prematurely loosing policy, he said. We will stay the course until the job is done. Initially, stocks rallied and Treasury yields tumbled with the dollar on the statement, which hinted rate hikes were entering their final phase. Then, as Powell talked about a higher peak rate and said the Fed had ways to go on tightening yields, and the dollar surged and stocks slipped. The S&P 500 suffered its worst rout on a Fed decision day since January 2021. The Fed's most forceful tightening campaign since the 1980s is beginning to cool some parts of the economy, particularly housing, but policymakers have yet to see meaningful progress on inflation. Nor has there been a significant loosening in the job market, with unemployment in September matching a half-century low of 3.5%. Employer demand for workers has also remained strong, with 1.9 job vacancies for every unemployed person in America, according to Labor Department data out on Tuesday. The labor market remains extremely tight, Powell said, adding that it continues to be out of balance, with demand substantially exceeding the supply of available workers. Yields on U.S. Treasury securities, which had dropped sharply after the Fed statement was released, turned higher, and the two-year note, the bond maturity most sensitive to Fed policy expectations, was up, having reversed course earlier. Bill Nelson, a former top Fed staffer who is now chief economist at the Bank Policy Institute, said ahead of Powell's news conference that the Fed's policy statements appeared to set the central bank up for more rate hikes before its tightening cycle is completed, delivering, though, at a possibly slower pace. The document implied that the Fed may be aiming for a higher medium-term level for the Fed funds rate than currently expected, Nelson said. Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.55% to 32,147. The S&P 500 lost 2.5% to 3,759. And the Nasdaq Composite dropped 3.36% to 10,524. After a strong rally in October that saw the Dow Jones Industrials post their biggest monthly percentage gain since 1976 and the S&P 500 rally about 8%, the three major indices on Wall Street have now fallen for three straight sessions. Wednesday's decline was the biggest percentage drop for the S&P since October the 7th. Mega cap techs bore the brunt of the selling, with giants like Apple and Tesla tumbling more than 3.5%. And in late trading, Qualcomm, the biggest maker of smartphone processors, slumped on a weak forecast. The S&P 500 had been modestly lower prior to the policy announcement as the ADP National Employment Report showed US private payrolls increased more than expected in October, giving more reason to the Fed to continue an aggressive path of rate hikes. Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Amazon all fell more than 3%, and semiconductor stocks were also pushed lower as AMD gave up gains following quarterly results and guidance that missed analyst expectations. Airbnb, meanwhile, fell more than 13% as fourth quarter guidance fell short of estimates, and that overshadowed quarterly results that beat on the bottom line. CVS Health, meanwhile, raised its full-year guidance after reporting better than expected revenue and profit in the third quarter of the year. It raised more than 2%. Energy fell more than 3%, meanwhile, even as oil prices climbed following an unexpected draw in U.S. weekly crude stockpiles. Marathon Oil, Phillips 66, and Devon Energy Corporation were among the biggest decliners, with the latter down more than 12%. And in corporate news, Boeing's chief said that the plane maker could generate $10 billion in cash annually by mid-decade once it turns around its operations after years of setbacks and miscalculations. China has ordered a 7-day lockdown for the area around Foxconn Technology Group's main plant in Zhengzhou, a move that will severely curtail shipments in and out of the world's largest iPhone factory. And the private payroll report came on the heels of data on Tuesday that showed a jump in US monthly job openings, indicating labor demand remains strong. Investors will get more data from the labor market in the form of the weekly initial jobless claims on Thursday and the October payrolls report on Friday that will help drive expectations for interest rate hikes ahead. So in closing, Ed Moyer, senior market analyst at Onda, said stocks might struggle here as the risks of the Fed taking rates above 5% are clearly still on the table. And Quincy Crosby, chief global strategist at LPL Financial, said factoring in the bond market's assessment, markets are becoming increasingly convinced that the path towards a terminal rate will include a recession. So in the light of all this, expect markets to continue to grind lower as interest rates grind higher. Expect bond rates to stay high. And I suspect that we're going to see something similar from the Bank of England overnight, which really puts the question under the RBA. Why are our interest rate hikes so much lower? The answer is because we've got so much household debt and they're paranoid about the impact on households in Australia. But the truth is, the recessionary forces are raging here and they are not doing enough. In the light of what's happened in the US, expect the Aussie dollar to continue to fall. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.